Hi everyone, Renee Powers here. I am the founder of Feminist Book Club, and I'm so glad you're here for another rendition of what I read last month. And if you're new here, every month I do a really, really casual reading wrap-up of all of the books that I read the previous month. So today we're talking about the books that I read in November. November, as you might have expected, was incredibly busy. We are a very small e-commerce business. So most of our time was spent getting ready for the holidays. Biggest shopping time of the year. And Lucy, who's my assistant, and I were logging long hours, putting together incredible gift bundles for the holidays, packing up December boxes, and so there was very little time to read. And you know, that's in addition to doing all of the other things that the holidays require, even though we are staying home. There's just a lot that's demanded of our time during this time of year. I want to circle back to those gift bundles I mentioned because, oh my goodness, are they so good. And they're going really fast. So if you're listening to this before the holidays, I do just want to give you a heads up. If you have seen some of our bundles and they're on your wish list, encourage your parents, your partners, your friends to purchase early because they are going fast. We've already sold out of a couple of titles, but they are so good. These gift bundles include a book and high quality premium products from what you've known and loved of Feminist Book Club from the get-go, woman, queer, minority owned businesses. So make sure you're checking those out. And there's something for everyone on your list. So we really wanted feministbookclub.com to be a one-stop shop for all of the feminist folks on your list. So we have put together bundles for all ages. We've got board book bundles, picture book bundles, chapter book bundles for middle grade readers, all the way up to narrative nonfiction about World War II, and all price ranges too. So everything is $25 up to $100. They're all on sale right now, and it is free shipping in the US. So you can delay the shipping if you would like, if you want to buy now and make sure that it shows up closer to your preferred holiday, whether that be Hanukkah, Solstice, Christmas, Kwanzaa, we can do that. We can delay shipping for you and make sure that it, you know, according to what the USPS says, that it should get there right before that holiday that you're purchasing for. One of my favorite products that we're offering this holiday season are the book and snack bundles. We've got hardcover and paperback. Hardcover is $35, paperback is $25, and that includes gift wrapping, and it's beautiful holiday neutral gift wrapping. So this would work for birthdays too if you've got some winter birthdays, but I think it's great for Secret Santa exchanges. We've got about 10 titles of each, anything from our previous favorites that we've featured in our subscription boxes to the runners up for some of those. So I lovingly call them our number twos. So for instance, the runner up for our humor month was Dear Girls by Ali Wong. So we're offering that. The runner up for our Reimagining the Feminist Canon month was Bad Feminist by Roxane Gay. So we're offering that. And then, like I said, we gift wrap them in beautiful wrapping paper and a really lovely bow. And then we pair it with a snack, because what is better than books and snacks? Really, like, I'm obsessed with snacks. I love a good snack. And so we've got snacks that should cover nearly every dietary restriction and every allergy. We've got nut-free, gluten-free, lactose-free, soy-free, vegan, low sugar or sugar-free. So there is a space when you check out to let us know if there are any dietary restrictions or allergies, and we should be able to accommodate, I would say, 95% of those with the variety of snacks that we have. And they're all delicious. We have, you know, we took one for the team. We taste tested all of them. And they are all chef's kiss, delicious. I am partial to these stroop waffles, but everything is tasty, tasty, and high quality from small, woman, queer, minority-owned businesses. So that's my little plug for our bundles. And I've been talking way too much, but honestly, I only read 5 books this month, so I wanted to take a little time to tell you about some of our offerings and let you know that you, if you're interested, you should get on it ASAP because they are going fast. So let's talk about the 5 books that I read this month. The first one comes as no surprise because we put it everywhere on the internet. The first book that I read in November is What Can I Do? My Path from Climate Despair to Action by Jane Fonda. And this came out September of this year from Penguin Press. Obviously, I read this because Feminist Book Club won the opportunity to have Jane Fonda herself join our book club. And it was so great. It was such an incredible opportunity. And honestly, what I love about Jane Fonda, I've seen her speak a couple of times. She is so humble, but so freaking smart. She comes to every social issue with an intersectional lens. She's really intentional about, you know, whose voices are being heard and whose voices are being excluded and what she can do, how she can yield her privilege and her power to include more perspectives and voices and people in the issue. So when I was in college, I saw her speak about the feminization of poverty. And it's not something that you expect, you know, some big celebrity to come to a college to speak about, but it was so enlightening. And I knew that she would take those same kind of nuanced perspectives and intersectional perspectives of poverty and apply it to the climate crisis. And that's exactly what she did. This book kind of reads like a scrapbook. For several months last year, she led what she called Fire Drill Fridays in partnership with Greenpeace, which were rallies in Washington, D.C. She moved to Washington, D.C. to do this, where she performed civil disobedience once a week and was arrested multiple times. She actually spent her 82nd or 83rd birthday in prison or in jail because she had been arrested. And she was like, there's no better place for me to be right now. I love this about her. What a rebel. But what she did was she brought in her celebrity friends to introduce experts in certain fields. So every week there was a different theme, and then every chapter is kind of a retelling or a summary of what happened that week. And she would bring celebrities in like all I can think of is Jason from The Good Place. What is his name? Manny Jacinto. Sorry. I was just like, hot Jason. What was his name? He showed up one week because he was inspired by Ted Danson showing up one week. Martin Sheen was there. Lily Tomlin, her co-star on Grace and Frankie, showed up. And they would use their kind of notoriety and celebrity to introduce experts. And these experts come from all walks of life, from all races, ethnicities, backgrounds. And those experts would be the ones that would dive into the topic of the month, except for Ted Danson, because apparently he is actually an expert in ocean preservation, which I think is fascinating and hilarious. So this book tells the story of how Fire Drill Fridays went. And the plan was in 2020, it was to take Fire Drill Fridays on the road and come to a city near you and do rallies across the country. Obviously, that couldn't happen because of COVID. But during our call, the executive director of Greenpeace, Annie Leonard, was also there. She and Jane mentioned that that's something that they're still planning to do. And so we will be using our small platform to share that information as well, because we would love to see a bunch of feminist book clubbers out there and fighting the good fight for climate justice and restoration. So that was, again, What Can I Do? My Path from Climate Despair to Action by Jane Fonda. And I think it comes as no surprise I gave that 5 stars. I think it's an excellent nonfiction book. Glossy photos, kind of reads like a scrapbook, but still dives into the issues, and really, really, really well done. Now, the next book that I read was Sorrow by Tiffany DiBartolo, and we will have an interview with Tiffany. I think next week is our interview with Tiffany. This came out October of this year from Woodhull Press, which is an indie publisher, and it's a fiction book. It's really lovely. One of the things again, I say this probably every month. I love a book with a strong sense of place where the setting kind of acts like its own character. And this is set in Northern California amongst the redwoods and tells the story of an artist who hires a carpenter and they become romantically involved and shenanigans ensue. It's not a rom-com. It really is a quiet love story with complicated people at its heart. It's literary. It reads well. It sucks you in. It is so, the environment of the book, the setting of the book is really, really beautiful. And there's a scene where they do mushrooms and the redwoods kind of come to life for them and their relationship kind of comes to life for them. And it's really, I mean, could have been easily tipping over into like the ridiculous and the rom-com sphere, but it didn't. I think Tiffany DiBartolo is a really deft writer and it's really just a lovely story and a lovely book. And I enjoyed reading it. I gave it 3.5 stars for many of the reasons that I give books fewer stars. One of them is representation, bunch of white people. And while this is a really thoughtful, really well-written book, I wanted just a little more substance, a little more that I could kind of sink my teeth into. It's not that it fell flat. It's just that I think that it had potential to be even more vibrant or even more juicy. And so I knocked a couple stars off for that. But that said, the discussion I have with Tiffany for the podcast is so good. I really loved the characters in this. I really loved the setting of this, and I loved the reading experience of this. So that was Sorrow by Tiffany DiBartolo. The next book that I read was Ties That Tether by Jane Icaro, and this came out from Berkeley Press September of this year. I believe it was also a book of the month. I actually listened to this on audio. We were supposed to record an interview together, but again, this time of year is chaos for everybody, and 2020 is just generally a shit show, so we couldn't make that happen. However, I read this book on audio because I needed to do like 14 things at once, and it was such a good listening experience. Okay, let me tell you about the book first, and then I'm going to tell you about the listening experience. This is absolutely a rom-com with a Nigerian-Canadian protagonist at its center. Her mother is very steeped in her Nigerian heritage and wants to make sure that the main character, Azire, marries a Nigerian man. And of course, she ends up falling for a white guy, struggles with how to tell her parents or how to tell her mom how to do dating in an interracial relationship and still be immersed in her Nigerian heritage and culture. This is an own voices story. I really wanted to talk to Jane and ask how much of this is reflected in her own life. I'll have to look up other interviews with her for that because I think that it's probably fairly autobiographical, inspired by personal experiences. It's a fun book. I will say content warnings for surprise pregnancy. I know that is something that is unsettling for a lot of people, myself included. And so I really wasn't expecting that. It comes up very early in the book. So it's something to keep in mind if that is content you're not keen on. I gave this 3 stars because I am just not the audience for a rom-com. I don't love happily ever afters. Does that make me cynical and terrible? I don't know. But I just didn't find this satisfying in the ways that I find literary fiction satisfying or historical fiction. I just don't love a love story. I am a horrible person, I guess. But the audio experience of this, I have to say, I got this on Libro FM, and the actors that play, that read the chapters for Azire and the actor that plays the chapter for Raphael, they are so, so good. There are some sexy moments that made me like kind of cringe listening to because I had never listened to a sex scene. And I was like, ooh, does anybody know what I'm listening to? But it was still fun. And this is a book that makes me want to dive deeper into audio books of fiction because I didn't realize how captivating that can be. So anyways, definitely recommend this on audio if you are a rom-com lover and love a good own voices story. So that is Ties That Tether by Jane Icaro. Also 10 points for the cover art. It's stunning. Okay, the next book that I read was our book of the month for Feminist Book Club. which was Braiding Sweetgrass, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And this came out in 2015 from Milkweed Editions, local independent press. Love it. This is a book of essays that read like poetry, but has science at its center. And the science I'm using kind of broadly because Indigenous science and Western science are very different. But Robin Wall Kimmerer is an enrolled citizen of the Potawatomi Nation, which, fun fact, I grew up on Potawatomi land. And so it was nice to kind of revisit some of that heritage. So this book, she succeeds in bridging the gap between cultural approaches to nature and her career as a scientist. She is a botanist. There's so much here in this book that I can't do it justice, honestly. It is so, so lovely and inspired me at least, to really take a step back, consider where our food comes from, consider the grass beneath our feet, consider the actual earth, the actual dirt underneath us, and our impact on it. And one thing that I really took away from this is that, you know, humans are not the virus. And I'm paraphrasing something Aaron from Aaron's Library on Instagram said in one of our chats. Humans are not the virus. Humans in Indigenous wisdom have a symbiotic relationship with nature, with the natural world. And this is exemplified in one of the essays about how sweetgrass grows better when it's being harvested by humans. If it's not harvested, it doesn't grow as well. It dies. So I think that's indicative of this kind of shift in mindset that those of us who grew up with Western thinking can really take to heart, and things can really, really change if we just thought of the natural world not as in service to us, not as a commodity, not as a product, but as coexisting with us and in relationship with us. And if we help it, it will help us. Beautiful book. Cannot do it justice. I will say this is a book that you should not binge. This is a book you should maybe read a chapter a night. I made the mistake of trying to power through it in a matter of days, and that is not the way to read it. And I think that hindered my rating. I think it could have been a 5-star book if I had allowed myself to really sit with it and really kind of let it simmer instead of just like barreling through it. So I gave it 4.5 stars because of that. I think that it felt really quiet and I wanted it to pick up. But had I been in the right headspace, the quietness of this book would have been really, really beautiful, more beautiful than it was already. So definitely take your time with this one. It is stunning. Oh, also, it is one of our book and snack bundles. So you can buy it for yourself or send it to a friend. But it is so, so good. Again, it sounds, the subtitle of it, you know, Indigenous Wisdom, Scientific Knowledge, and the Teachings of Plants, sounds kind of dry. I will give you that. But it is so lovely. And I think I've said a million times already, reads like poetry. Robin Wall Kimmerer is absolutely a poet. We are speaking to her tonight. She's going to be doing a Q&A with Feminist Book Club members tonight. I'm recording this on Wednesday, so Thursday when you hear this, we'll have already done it, but we're very excited to ask her a lot of beautiful questions that have been submitted. It's going to be a great event. So again, that is Braiding Sweetgrass by Robin Wall Kimmerer. And the last book that I read was a short one. It's about 160 pages. It's called Two Old Women, An Alaskan Legend of Betrayal, Courage, and Survival by Velma Wallace. This came out in 2013 from Harper Perennial. And it was one of our books that was recommended for our Indigenous Voices Month. And oh my goodness, what a great tiny book. It is 160 pages, but it packs a punch. It is about two old women, Native women in Alaska, who get left behind during kind of famine times of a nomadic tribe. The tribe can't afford to, you know, feed them and and carry them and carry their things. And so they're just left to die, but they don't die. Spoiler alert, they make it. And this book just follows them doubling down and being determined to live. This will to live is inextinguishable for these incredible old women. And it's based on oral history, a story that the author was told growing up, and really, really enjoyable. I gave it 5 stars. This is definitely one that you can power through in a day, and it's really satisfying. You won't want to put it down. And so set aside a couple hours to read this one. It's short but sweet and really, really enjoyable. So I gave that one 5 stars. And again, that was Two Old Women, an Alaska Legend of Betrayal, Courage, and Survival by Velma Wallace. Such a sweet little book. Okay, that's all I have for you today. I hope you enjoyed this very casual, very rambly episode of What I Read in November. I am currently reading A Spy in the Struggle by Aya de Leon. I'll let you know what I think about that. And I've got lots of books on my TBR for the next few weeks. And we will be wrapping up the year on the podcast with, I think, one or two more interviews. And then I'll be doing my best of 2020 episode. And then we'll be taking a couple of weeks off for the holidays. So I hope that you and yours are safe and having a lovely, quiet, socially distant holiday season. And I will see you again next week.
Thanks for listening to today's show. As always, a rating and review in the podcast app of your choice goes a long way in supporting feminist media. We'd love to have you join the Feminist Book Club subscription box, a community-driven subscription box which features a book of the month and products from women and queer-owned businesses delivered directly to your doorstep. This is an easy way to vote with your dollars, as you'll be supporting this podcast, small women and queer-owned businesses, and the charity beneficiary of the month, which receives 5% of total sales. Use code PODCAST for a discount on any subscription package. Learn more about the box and get the show notes for today's episode at feministbookclub.com. See you next time.
A well-read woman is a dangerous creature. Oh, 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 oh. A well-read woman is a dangerous creature.
Oh, oh, oh. If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.